Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us this week in America. Difficult problems are everywhere around us, lurking in all aspects of our lives, on the job or at home. And bad problem solving is everywhere as well, and it costs individuals and businesses tremendous amounts of time and money. Our guest on This Week in America is Nat Green. He says the most problem-solving efforts are really just guesses, and the actual problem will likely go unsolved. Nat has spent over two decades technical problem-solving as a consultant, teaching and coaching over 200 exceptional problem solvers. He is an author, a business leader, problem solving expert, a co-founder and CEO of Stroud International, which has helped dozens of impossible technical problems be solved for over 50 clients on five continents. A master of engineering from Oxford University, studied design, manufacturing, and management at Cambridge University, and coursework at Harvard Business School's Owner-President Management Program, and is the author of Stop Guessing, The 9 Behaviors of Great Problem Solving. And Nat Green is with us on This Week in America. Hi, Nat. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to chatting.
It is going to be really an interesting program going through the various behaviors of problem solvers, but I want to start by going to your background. You basically were born a problem solver. Talk about being born and raised in Hong Kong and the influence your mom and dad had you on looking for problems and then sort of talking through what the solution would be.
Yeah, so Hong Kong was a very dynamic, fast-paced place to grow up, and exposed me to a lot of different cultures. The school I was at had more than 20 languages spoken, people from 40 different countries. So, you know, it was a very interesting place, changing. People had lots of different problems they brought with them. And then my father had a particular influence on me because he's an expert in metallurgy. And he would help understand why things failed, you know, when metal didn't work for some reason. And so when I was growing up, wandering around Hong Kong, we'd always be stopping and looking at things that were broken or weren't working. It might be some lamppost that was corroding or something that had snapped in half and fallen over. And we'd always stop and look at it. And so, you know, it's from a very early age that I had this interest. And funnily enough, I didn't really appreciate or understand that impact that my father had with me on this until I started writing this book, and then it became very, very clear.
You say that when most people are guessing, when they're trying to solve a problem, and in many cases, they even don't know that they're guessing. Talk about that and how we can tell if we're guessing or if we're going about it in a reasonable, productive manner.
Well, it's interesting because saying people are guessing, people can have quite an emotional reaction to that. Some people go, yeah, you're right, and that's not a problem, and others get quite defensive. And so how can you recognize you're doing it? Well, often people dress it up. They say, well, we're coming up with ideas, we're generating ideas, or brainstorming. And these are all code words for guessing. And guessing isn't a bad thing in and of itself. So if you're guessing and it's a very simple problem, then that's not necessarily a problem. There's only two or three possible solutions to something. You make a guess, you try something quickly, you come up with another idea, then that can be okay. The problem is that we use that same strategic approach to solving hard problems, and it simply doesn't work with hard problems.
You know, and you talk about it in the book, Stop Guessing, The 9 Behaviors of Great Problem Solvers. Nat Green, our guest in the program. The book is available all across the country. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We may be in a team situation at work trying to figure out a difficult problem. I realize that guessing is not going to work, but how do you eliminate or how do you handle others that you're working with in the team that are coming up with ideas that basically are guess-based?
Well, that's an interesting issue because to try and correct a cultural and behavioral challenge in a team live when the problem's happening is always difficult. It can be confrontational. And my recommendation is that you introduce the concepts ahead of time. So along with the book, for instance, we've created 9 brief YouTube videos that can help you understand these different 9 behaviors. And I'd recommend that you share some of them with the team. There's always, you know, it takes the confrontation out of it. You know, when people are working on an important problem, there's time pressure, and they want to impress their friends and colleagues. And if someone suddenly jumps in and goes, hey, you're just guessing, that's not the right way to do this, it's not a very effective technique.
Exactly.
So I would say long before that, you've got to educate people.
Information on the book, by the way, available at the website stopguessingbook.com. Again, you can link onto our website and get that information. The book Stop Guessing is available at bookstores all across the country. Stop Guessing, we've talked about. Number two is Smell the Problem. And this is interesting because you really need to fully understand the problem in the beginning to figure out exactly how you're going to rectify that problem, correct that problem. And it begins with smelling out the problem. Talk about that concept.
Yeah, so most people, of course, they're there guessing and solution guessing, right? They're guessing at solutions. And once you stop trying to guess, you've got to actually go and understand the problem that you're looking to solve. And the thing we recommend you start is by smelling the problem. And that doesn't just mean using your nose. It means using all your senses and get proximate to the problem if you can, if it's a physical problem or if it's a problem in some unseen process. You've got to get with the people who understand the problem that's going on. Most people spend the vast majority of their time focused on the solution. And you've got to start actually at the problem, because otherwise you can come up with all kinds of ideas if you're still in your guessing mindset, but you don't actually really know what problem you're solving. So you've got to get in there and really use all your senses to understand the problem.
Well, it's interesting, and you mentioned that. Know the problem you're solving. How often do we go into problem-solving mode and we're not really solving the core issue? We're not aware of what that is. We're not aware what the major problem is.
I in my world, I see it all the time. People are sort of, they have an idea of what the problem is at a superficial level. They maybe know part of how it impacts them, but they often define it at sort of too high a level, the profit of our company is not right, and they don't get down to the specifics. Or they're way, lost in the weeds talking about one small aspect. And so it's critical that as you work through problem solving, that you're constantly redefining it as you add new knowledge. And you make sure that the whole team has a very, very clear problem definition.
In the book, Stop Guessing, you have a number of examples in the area where you're talking about know your problem that you're solving. You talk about Paul Polak, I believe is the name, P-O-L-A-K, International Development Enterprises, working on extreme poverty. And talk about that, because he had to really identify what the problem was that he was trying to solve.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed learning about Paul Polak and how he had applied these sorts of behaviors. He lists some of these behaviors in his book. And it's really good to see an application from an area that I haven't personally worked in. So I've spent all my career helping mostly very large industrial corporations solve, difficult, practical, technical problems that they have. And Paul's applied this thinking, out there in the world of poverty. And what he talks about in his book is that people be misdefining the problem. And it seems crazy. How can they be defining the problem wrong? But they get caught up in stuff. So for instance, they look at poverty in an area and they go, oh, they're missing this piece of infrastructure. So what we need to do is we need to build a road, so they can get stuff to the market efficiently. Yes. Or something like that. And that sounds like a great idea on the surface, but they sort of misdefine the problem. And of course, the issues of building that infrastructure and maintaining it and so on can be very challenging in some of these countries. Whereas what he defined it as is really simple, as these people that he was working with just simply don't have enough income. And so he needs to find ways to help them increase their income so that they can do the things they need to do. And, he's very critical of some of the efforts that have gone on and has had some tremendous success with this approach. So, I highly recommend learning about what Paul's done.
One of the many examples in the book, Stop Guessing, The 9 Behaviors of Great Problem Solving, with us problem solvers, with us Nat Green, the author of the book. One of the behaviors is embrace your ignorance. And so often people are reluctant to ask what they consider to be a silly question or a stupid question. And you're saying embrace that ignorance. That's one of the keys to problem solving.
If you want to be a great problem solver, you don't worry about the things you don't quite know. And you don't worry about people superficially thinking you're not that clever or not that knowledgeable, because you're developing the skills to go and crush those hard problems. And the more you develop those skills, the more you can rely on that rather than sort of hiding behind what you almost know and think you know. And too often people rely on that, and they're afraid to ask questions. And it happens all the time. People don't know what an acronym is, or they sort of think they do. And so they don't want to ask because they feel silly, because maybe it's their industry and they should know it. Or they think they know the definition of operating profit or something, and And actually, they only really half understand it. And that goes on all the time. So you've got to really watch out for that and embrace your ignorance and dig in, dig into things you don't quite understand.
One of the behaviors in Stop Guessing, you talk about, and this is interesting, believe in a simple solution. And you say you almost are setting yourself up for failure if you convince yourself it's complicated. If it's complicated, I can't figure it out. Well, you've got an excuse already built in.
Yes. People like to believe that a difficult problem or a big problem or a very costly problem, that it's hidden behind a very complex solution. You know, some large capital spend or requiring to change your entire lifestyle. And I just found that often that's not the case. And so it's one of these, you know, if you think it is, you're sort of doomed scenarios. If you go through a series of experiences where you solve hard problems with a simple, elegant solution, you're going to start to train your mind to look for that and, more importantly, believe that it can be done. And once you believe it can be done, you're able to go and get stuck in to these problems with that mindset. And then you're not hamstrung by the complexity problem. Because if people think something's going to be super complex, they start justifying that it's not worth working on. And they've got an excuse. And, you know, there's nothing worse than an excuse to stop you tackling a hard challenge.
You've got a great story with friends that rented a house, and one of the gentlemen is using his computer, and they would have power problems, and it got to be very aggravating because when he was in the middle of something important, they would have a power outage. And the solution was simple. He was walking through the house and realized every time he had the power outage, one of the roommates was using a high-powered microwave. So again, this wasn't a real complex problem, and he was able to find the solution to it.
Yes. And that's the sort of thing, like when you step back and you look at the problems that are around you, I bet you can identify some situations where it was sort of a very simple and elegant solution you put in place. And so the more you can think about that and relay that to the people around you and reinforce that behavior, the more primed you're going to be to expect something simple like that. And then you're not going to allow yourself to be distracted with sort of these fears that it's a super complex solution that you shouldn't therefore look to tackle these tough problems.
Problem solving is considered a soft skill. It's a skill that a lot of people in industry business are looking for. If you feel you understand problem solving, you're good at that. How do you put that in a resume? How do you use that to your advantage as you're attempting to advance in a business or to get a job?
That is a great question. I think in the end, you can list some of the hard problems you've been involved in solving. But I think more importantly, if you want to attract the attention of people who know a lot about problem solving and are themselves very strong problem solvers, you've got to explain some aspect that explains where people go wrong and how you were able to help your team or how you were able, you know, if you're an individual contributor to approach a particular problem differently. And specifics matter here because people put a lot of generalities. You know, I can't imagine anyone on a resume writing, "I'm a bad problem solver." So, you know, in some ways, it's the space is very polluted with, you know, this sort of lack of understanding what it really takes to solve hard problems. And the way you can break through is by being very specific with an area that you've shone in.
A couple minutes left in the program. Stop Guessing, the 9 Behaviors of Great Problem Solvers is the name of the book. Nat Green, our guest in the program, his website, stopguessingbook.com. The book's available all across the country. Information by linking onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us. One example that sports people, sports fans can relate to, the 2002 Oakland Athletics. And they've got a problem. They lose a lot of ball games. They don't have the budget to compete with the big market teams. It's a fascinating story, which led to Moneyball and led to maybe revolutionizing how baseball scouting is conducted. Talk about how they found the problem and how a graduate from Harvard came in and was able to work around that.
Well, and I think Moneyball is so well understood, and that's why I love it. And as an example used in the book, I think the important thing to draw out of this example is you've got a sport, America's pastime. It's been played for a very long time by a lot of people. And yet, somebody's able to come in and do something as simple as they did in Moneyball, you know, in the end, relatively simple, and make a tremendous impact. And who would have believed that possible? Almost nobody believed it was possible. And that's the thing I want you to think about when you think about the gap between where you are now with your problem solving and your behaviors and beliefs around that and where you could possibly be. Imagine having that kind of impact in your business or in your life.
And we saw it play out in that situation. And I mentioned workaround. What's the difference? How do we tell between a real solution and a workaround? Because a workaround doesn't necessarily mean we solved the problem.
No, it doesn't. And people often put in sort of a quick fix, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they don't solve the problem to root cause because they don't understand what truly caused it. And when you do, you're going to have things working properly the way they should. And an example I've seen plenty of times is, you know, be looking at a packing line, packing something, and there'll be a box going down the line, and you'll see a person there fiddling with something, maybe pushing the stuff in because the automatic, you know, filler hasn't filled it neatly, or breaking the sort of flaps on the box so that when it goes into the automatic taper, it works. And what a lot of people do is they'll have solved the problem by putting a person there to stop the line jamming up. But then 10 years later, that person is still there. And that's the sort of thing where people work around and they don't actually solve the root cause of the problem.
And part of what you talk about is understanding the science behind, especially with some of these more complicated issues, understanding the science. And basically, there's a science of life that we need to be aware of, isn't there?
A science of life in what sense?
Well, that you understand science is involved in all aspects of our lives, and we really need to be aware of it and follow scientific principles as we're trying to do solve complex problems.
Yes, and then get stuck in, you know, practicing doing that, understanding that you can understand things and that there's step-by-step ways
yes.
to do that, and you can gain the specific knowledge you need so that you can solve your problem.
You also talk about developing your problem-solving skills can lead to tremendous improvements in relationships. As we close out the program, a minute or so left. Talk about that, because it's not just the practical solution to a problem. It has application in your real life.
Oh, yeah, and this is sort of a seemingly trivial example I can use. I've got four kids, and one day I walked in, and I found, you know, half the cookies missing. And there's a little noise in the kitchen, and there's my daughter, you know, scarfing a cookie after bedtime. Now, I could go, hey, you know, what's going on? Get upset. I could blame her for, you know, I could jump to the conclusion that she'd been the one stealing all the cookies. But when you step back and you, you know, study the problem, you realize there's no way she ate half the cookies. You know, something else is going on. And sure enough, the reason she was there, she's the youngest, is because she was following the example of her elder brothers. So, you know, it's a simple example, but you can find opportunities to be a stronger problem solver, and it can help you in all aspects of your life.
The new book is a fascinating read. It's called Stop Guessing, The 9 Behaviors of Great Problem Solvers. Our guest on the program has been Nat Green. The book is available all across the country. His website is stopguessingbook.com. Link on directly to Nat's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Nat, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.